But for you little guys, they got to cross and probably weighs 40 pounds, and you got to carry, you got to run. You bigger guys, you got a big one that weighs about 100 pounds, you got to do. Now that would be great, it's part of the obstacle course. But you know what? Bearing that cross and carrying it on the obstacle course can't even compare with if you decide this week to pick up the cross for the Lord Jesus Christ and carry his.
Amen.
Now that's what we want to talk about. That's what we want to talk about this week. Each night I will go after your heart. I will preach to your heart. I will try to get you to take your heart away from the world or wherever it's at and give it toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Danny, during the day, I'll be preaching at night. All of us trying to lay out for you the plan of God in your life. I come here, and I said this yesterday morning, I come here with a bittersweet spirit. I've been so excited for this camp. But I have a bittersweet spirit about it. The sweet spirit is, I know God's going to do something in a lot of your kids' lives this week, and I'm excited about that. The bitter side of it is, I know that some of you will leave here Thursday night just as cold as indifferent that you came in here today. And that's a tragedy. It's a tragedy for you. It's a tragedy for me. It's a tragedy for you that you're going to miss everything that God has for you. And I come here, as I said, to open up the Word of God and to give you everything that God has for you. And I want to talk to you tonight, and I want to build a message, a theme, throughout the rest of this week that I think illustrates what God wants to do with you this week. And I want to talk about, in the next 3 days, the 3 days that's coming in your life. Most people don't even think about it. Most God's people don't even understand it. And that, in most cases, they come in your life, and they either make you or they break you, and most of God's people never even understand that there's 3 major days in your life that you're going to have to face. 2 of them are going to be this week. You know, days in the Bible are very important. The Bible talks about the day of the Lord. That's the second coming of Christ. The Bible talks about the day of visitation. That's the second coming of Christ. The Bible talks about the day of Jesus Christ. That's the rapture of the church. God has his day. Jesus Christ has his day. God on his day gets Israel. Christ on his day gets his bride, the church. The Bible talks about the day of one's birth in the book of Ecclesiastes. The Bible talks about the day of one's death. In our eyes, days will stand for something. They mark important events. You all have a birthday. That's the day you were born. Your parents have an anniversary day. That's the day they got married. In May, we have Memorial Day. In June, July, we have Independence Day. And coming up in September, we have Labor Day. Days signify something in our culture, in our society. We have Christmas, that's December 25th. We have New Year's Day, that's January 1st. All down through life, all down through history. But as I said earlier, in World War II, they had D-Day. And D-Day was the day where the Allies actually invaded the continent of Europe. That day was called D-Day. The guys who went ashore and fought it called it the Day of Days. Before that, on December 7th, 1941, the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor and put us into World War II. That day was called the Day of Infamy, a day that we will never forget. And you know, the Bible, in the tribulation, the Bible is called, in the Bible, the tribulation is called the Day of Trouble. And in your life and in my life, there will be 3 days that will come into our lives that you need to understand. And I want to take each night and talk about one of them. And understanding these 3 days is absolutely vital for you to see and understand. Some of you will respond to these days. Some of you will just blow them off and go your own way. And now tonight I want to talk about the first one. And I want to begin to talk about probably the day that's going to mean more to you this week than any other day in your life as far as eternity is concerned and as far as your relationship with God is concerned. Now let me say this to you. We have 3 kinds of people in this camp this week. I know we have guys and gals, we have young ones, we have old ones, we have counselors, but fundamentally we have 3 kinds of people in this camp. And I want to preach to all three of you. Each one of you has a specific need that the other one doesn't have. The first group of people we have here is we have some unsaved people in this camp. We have some young men and some young ladies that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. We have some people in this camp that if you would die right now, you do not know for sure that you'd go to heaven to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the first kind of people we have. Then we have people who are saved. And you came here prepared. You came here right with God to get something from God because you want to be better in everything that you do. So you're already saved, you're right with God, and you came to get fed. You came to get closer to God. That's the second group. Then we have our third group. And that third group is young men and young ladies that you're saved, but you know you're a long way from where God wants you to be. Your life is not about God. Your life is about you. It's about what you want to do. When you come to church, it's just because your parents make you come. If you had your way, you wouldn't even be there. I'm not even sure why you're here this week, but I'm glad you are. And we've got that group of people who you're so far from the Lord, and you know it, I know it, and everybody around you knows it. So we have three groups of people here this week. And I want this message to touch all three groups. And we'll talk about it as we go through. Now let's have a word of prayer and then we'll get going. Marcus, would you stand up and ask God's blessing on our service tonight? Amen. Now tonight I want to begin to talk about the first day. And it's illustrated through the life of a man in the Old Testament whose name was Jacob. And I want you to turn in your Bible to Genesis chapter 32. And the first day I want to talk about is the day, it's the day that God gets you alone. It's the day that God gets you alone. You will face that day, most of you, this week at camp. As you hear the preaching, Monday through Thursday, and God will begin to speak to you. And God, in many cases, will begin to reveal himself to you in areas of your life that you need to change. It was easy not to face these back home. God tried to speak to you, I'm sure, in your home. But you can blow him off there because you can turn the television on, you can get your iPhone out, you can get your Xbox out, you can get on your computer, you can call your friends and go here or go there. It's easy in your own home to just discard the fact that God wants to talk to you and get you alone. But not here. The Holy Spirit of God will walk up and down this camp this week. The Holy Spirit of God tonight will walk up and down these aisles. He'll move in between the seats. And as the Word of God goes forth and the preaching goes forth, you will be face to face with God speaking to you. And he is going to take this week without all the busyness in your life. He's going to take these next 4 days without all of the things that you occupy your time with at home. And he's going to come face to face and he's going to speak to you. This week will be hard for some of you. It really will. As camp moves through the week, you're going to stick out like a sore thumb. People are going to get right with God. People are going to get saved. And you're going to be left there. And you're going to be on your own. And it's a situation where God wants to speak to you. And he wants to get you alone to do it. And this is the place he's going to do it this week. If not tonight, tomorrow, one of these nights, one of these days, maybe he's began already in your life. And he's going to begin to talk to you. And I want to show you in the Bible an illustration of a man who was just like you and me. And he's found in Genesis chapter 32, and his name is Jacob. And I want to read for you verses 24 through 32. Now, read along with me, not out loud, just follow along as I read. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh, And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince thou hast power with God and with man, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And he passed over Peniel. The sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore, the children of Israel eat not the sinew which shrank upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh, in it the sinew that shrunk. Now, this is one of the great pictures in the Bible of a man getting honest with himself and getting honest with God. And you know, that's what it's going to take this week. You know, I can't underscore the importance of Jacob in the Bible. Jacob is a key player in what God wants to do. God wants to reach the world through the nation of Israel. But at this time, there is no nation of Israel. And we've seen Abraham, we've seen Isaac, and now we see Jacob. And from Jacob is going to come the 12 tribes, which are going to become the nation of Israel. He's absolutely vital in the plan of God. For him, and for God to do what he wants to do, Jacob is a key player. And it's an incredible picture, the importance of him. But I want to tell you something. You're no less important, because God wants to reach through you and touch the world. You're just as important as Jacob ever was. God wants to reach down into your world this week, and he wants to touch you. He wants to speak with you. He wants to get you alone, and he wants to tell you and talk with you what he wants you to do for him, just like he did Jacob. And the tragedy is some of you won't hear it this week. The blessing is some of you will. And I'm telling you, Jacob is an incredible picture. God wants to get you alone just like he did Jacob. Now let's stop for a moment and we look at this. Now let's take the name Jacob for a moment. The name Jacob means supplanter. It means schemer. It means liar. It means all the negative things that a person can be. And here's a picture in the life of Jacob of you and me, a child of God, that all of our life we manipulate everything for ourselves. We use people. We use circumstances. We use situations. We scheme and plan to get everything that we want, and yet at the same time, we like to pretend that we're spiritual. We still go to church. We have a Bible. If somebody would ask you if you're saying, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, but in truth, yeah, you're a Christian, but you're Jacob. You're a schemer. You're a liar. You're a thief. You do everything for yourself. You care nothing about the things of God. You care nothing about anything that God wants to do in your life. Jacob lies. Jacob cheats. Jacob schemes. Jacob steals. And some of you are the same way. Some of you are the same way with your parents. Some of you are the same way with your friends. Some of you are the same way with God. His life was all about what he wanted. It was all about him. And yet, he's a key player in the plan of God. God is saying, you know what? I got to have Jacob. I got to have Jacob, because if I'm going to have a nation that is made up of 12 tribes called Israel, I got to have Jacob, because from Jacob will come the 12 tribes. And God is looking at you this week. And just like he got Jacob alone because he needed Jacob and he wanted Jacob, he wants you this week. He saves you for a purpose. He saves you for a plan. He saves you to do something for him. And some of you today just don't get that. You're like Jacob, it's all about you. Jacob's a character. In chapter 25, he lies and manipulates to steal the birthright from his own brother, Esau. In chapter 27, He schemes to get the blessing from Esau. In chapter 28, he runs from God when God tries to get to him. In chapter 29, he makes a deal with Laban and then crosses him with deceit and takes advantage of Laban. He gets caught in that scheme for a wife, but instead of getting Rachel, he gets Leah. In chapter 30, he puts a plan together to take advantage of Laban's good kindness. Laban says, you can have all the cattle that we have when they're born that have all of the speckles and all of the different spots on them. So you know what he does? He read in a farmer's almanac someplace how to feed cattle certain kinds of branches and trees. And when they produce little cattle, little babies, they're all speckled. So he feeds them that, so he gets all the cattle. He's just like us. He schemes with Esau and takes advantage of him. All of his life, like you and me, it's all about him. He doesn't care about what God wants. He could care less that God was looking at him and saying, from him is going to come the 12 tribes. And some of you this week, right now, tonight, in your heart, you could care less that God wants something for you to do for him. And there's a lot of similarity between us. Then in chapter 31, where we're at tonight, chapter 31, verse 24, God gets him alone, and the game is over. Verse 24 says, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. The great wrestling match between God and Jacob. And yet I want to tell you, it wasn't a physical wrestling match. It wasn't God and Jacob running around and fighting and throwing each other and double hammer locks on the ground. It wasn't that kind of wrestling match. It wasn't like you watch on TV. It wasn't that kind of physical. This is a wrestling match of Jacob's will versus God's will. And some of you are going to wrestle with God this week. Some of you were already wrestling when you got here. Some of you are going to wrestle with God this week over what God wants you to do, over what you want to do. And God is looking at you tonight, and he's thinking what he could do with you, where he could take you, what you could do for him. And the wrestling match is on, isn't it? And it's only going to intensify throughout the week. It ain't going to get better. When Danny hits you tomorrow morning and I hit you tomorrow night with the second day, it's only going to get worse. It ain't going to get better. It isn't going to go away. If I were you right now, I'd fain fall over, pass out, have one of the nurses call your parents and get you home. It ain't going to get any easier. Because this week, God's going to get you alone. Because he's got something he wants for you. He's got something he wants you to accomplish for him. And he's going to get you alone. And God said, verse 26, they're wrestling. God says, let me go. I don't want to be part of you, Jacob. I don't want anything to do with your lies and your scheming and your conniving and your taking advantage of people. Let me go. The Bible says in Amos 3:3, how could you walk together except they be agreed? You can't. God says, let me go. Jacob says, I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. That's the way we are. We want to live our lives the way we want to. We want to do our own thing. We want it to be all about us, and yet we still want God to bless us. Doesn't work that way. And this week, God's going to get you alone. This day, this week, will not be a good one for some of you. Because you know there are some things you need to change in your life, and you're wrestling with the fact that you don't want to change. And I want to tell you something. I don't care how smart you are, or how smart you think you are. I don't care. You can have the most razor-sharp mind on the planet. You can be the greatest manipulator the world has ever seen. You can be the strongest, toughest guy on the block. And I'm telling you right now, when you come up against a wrestling match with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of God this week, you're going to lose. Amen. It's just not simple. Look at verse 25. And when he saw that he prevailed not against them, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Now I want to tell you something. You don't ever want to get to the place where you wrestle with God and say no to God, and you fight God, when God then has to come down and touch your body. Jacob lived the rest of his life. With every step he took, he felt the pain and remembered the pain of the day when God had to touch his thigh, because Jacob kept saying, "No, God, I want your blessing, but I want my life the way I want it." God is not going to let you do it. I'm telling you right now. He's not going to let you do it. He's not. I'm telling you. Listen, God's got a plan for you. He saved you for that plan. Nobody made you get saved. Nobody twisted your arm if you're saved here tonight. Nobody twisted your arm to make you get saved. You saw the plan of salvation. You looked at the eternity without God in hell. You chose by a free conscious choice to trust Christ as your own personal Savior. The moment you did that, you signed a dotted line that he saved you for a purpose. I'll tell you something, guys, and the quicker you learn this, the better off you're going to be. There's some people you don't push around. There's some people you don't say no to. I mean, I realize it, I get it. Some of you got the message turned off already. And this week, you're just going to tune me out. You're going to tune Danny out. And you made up your mind that you're not going to listen to the message. Well, I got news for you. You get pinned under a car at 4 o'clock in the morning sometime when you're in a drunken stupor, you'll hear the rest of the message. You get in a situation where you get hurt really bad and you're laying in the hospital bed, you'll hear the sermon. God died for you. He loves you. He saves you. And he's got a plan for you. And if you think that you're going to take his salvation freely and then skip town with it, I got some news for you. And this week, you're going to get you alone. I'm going to talk to you. He's going to talk to you about what he's done for you. He's going to talk to you about how much he loves you. He's going to talk to you about what he's done for you and what he wants you to do for him. And I want to tell you something. When you got saved, you became God's child, and he'll deal with you. And when we get away from him and we rebel against his will, you'll have the greatest wrestling match in your life. And you will not win. I've watched all my life, 40-something, almost 50 years in the ministry. I've watched God's people end their lives in a disaster. I've watched kids just like you who said no to God, who wanted to do their own thing, who rebelled against their parents, thought they knew more about it than anybody else on the planet. And it looks good right now. You're a big, strong, tough guy right now. You're a sweet guy right now. You got it all put together. Let me tell you something. 20 years from now, 15 years from now, 30 years from now, let's see where you wind up. There's an old spiritual song that goes, says, so high we can't get over it. So low we can't get under it. So wide we can't get around it. We got to come in at the door. You'll never get around him if you're his child. But he saved you for a purpose. Jacob couldn't do it, and you won't do it. And this week, God's going to get you alone, and he's going to talk to you. Don't ever get to the place in your life where you say no to God. You harden your heart. You do your own thing to the point where God has to come down and touch your body. I don't know how many times I've been called in the middle of the night that a child of God that was in my church, or a child of God that I was associated with, who rebelled against God and did his own thing or did her own thing, wound up at the end of their life committing suicide. And I would go, call by the police and identify the body. And they would talk to me and tell me, and they'd say, well, it's a case of suicide. And when the coroner did his report, he typed in cause of death, suicide. But that wasn't the truth. The cause of death was God. coming. Never get to the place where the only way God can get your attention is to come down and touch your body. Listen, Jacob limped the rest of his life, and every step he took, he felt the pain of that thigh being out of joint. And it reminded him the rest of his life, the fight he had over God's will and his will. And I'll tell you, 1,000 times he wished he would have listened. It can cost you your family. It can cost you your mom and dad. It can cost you your freedom when you go to jail. It can cost you your health. It can cost you your sanity. It can cost you your peace of mind. It can cost you your success. It can cost even your life, 1 Corinthians 11:30. And most important of all, it'll cost you your millennial inheritance that he has for you.
Right.
The day God will get you alone. What you will do with what he says to you this week. He's already started. I see it in your face. That Holy Spirit of God didn't waste any time tonight. He comes down tapping you on the shoulder. You may be smiling and you may be playing like you're the big tough guy and it ain't getting through. Let me tell you something. There's some people you can put off. You can't put off the Holy Spirit of God. He's walking down these aisles tonight. He's moving up and down these chairs. He's looking deep down inside you. And he knows where you're at tonight. And I got to tell you, in Jacob's life, and I hope this is true in your life, in Jacob's life, this was a real turning point for him. As it will be for some of you this week, I'm sure. But here's where it starts, and I want you to see this. This is where it's going to start for you this week. This is where it's going to start for some of you tonight. When you leave here tonight and you go home back to your cabin and have your devotions and you get that quiet time and you go to bed tonight, the Holy Spirit of God is going to remind you of what I'm saying. Here's where it starts. This is the turning point. Look at verse 29. The Lord said unto him, what is thy name? He says, let me go. I want the blessings of God. And God says, let me go. He says, no, I won't let you go till you bless me. And they're wrestling over the will of God, over the will of Jacob. And finally, God says, okay, you want a blessing? You want to be Jacob? You want to be the great man that I know you can be? What's your name? Jacob said, what's my name? My name's Schemer. My name's Supplanter. My name's Liar. You see where it starts for God to really do something in your life? It starts with you getting honest with yourself of who you really are tonight. No more games. No more pretending. No more facade. No more pretending you're one thing when you're really not. For you to get the blessings of God in your life and you to be the man that God wants you to be or the woman God wants you to be where God is going to use you, it will start this week when God gets you alone with you being honest with yourself who you really are. And this week, starting tonight, you got to get honest with yourself. You don't have to get honest with me. You don't have to get honest with your counselor. That would be nice. But you don't have to. The only one you really got to get honest with tonight is the Lord. Because he knows what games you're playing. And he knows this week that he set you apart from everything out there for one reason. He wants to get you alone. This is the day when God is going to get you alone. He's going to speak to you. He's going to speak to you. And this will be your battle this week. This will be what you struggle with this week. And I want you to look what happens here. When he finally faces the reality of who he is. And this will happen in your life if you get honest with yourself and honest with God. Look at verse 28. When he says, what is your name? And he confesses it. He says, my name is Jacob. Oh, I'm a mess. Oh, God, I'm sorry. Oh, I am a schemer. I am rotten. I have lied and stolen, and I've done everything, and it's all been about me. And we've been wrestling here, and Lord, I can't even hardly walk now. All right, I got it. It's going to be your will. I'm going to change my attitude, and I'm going to do what you called me to do. And you know what God does at that point? Changes his name. He says, you're not going to be called Jacob anymore, because you're not going to be a schemer anymore. You're not going to be a supplanter. You're not going to be a liar. Now I'm going to change your name to Israel. And Israel means that God now is going to bring the 12 tribes through one man who, if he wouldn't have given his will over to God, we don't know what would have happened. And I'm telling you right now, in your life tonight, God wants to take your life and your will, and he wants to do something with you this week. And some of you will yield to it like Jacob did, and God will change your name. You know what the name change in the Bible means? I don't know if you know it or not, but there's 7 name changes in the Bible. 5 of them are good, 2 of them are bad. And the 5 that are good represent what God does. When God changes a man's name in the Bible, he changed Jacob. He changed Abram to Abraham. He changed Sarai to Sarah. He changed Simon Peter to Peter. He changed Saul to Paul. He changed their name, and it signifies a change in their life where they're never going back to the world.
Amen.
It changes, as the Bible says, we're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. All things become new. It changes. It's not about CrossFit. It's about, are you fit to bear that cross?
Amen.
Abram was worldly and making all kinds of mistakes. And then he got out of fellowship with God for 13 years, the Bible tells us. And then one day he dealt with God. God got him alone. Where Abram means high father, when God changed his name to Abraham, it means the father of many nations. Sarai was all about herself. And then one day God got a hold of her, and God changed her name to Sarah. Jacob was all about him. And then one day God got him alone, and now he becomes Israel. Peter was a goofball, unbelievable. And one day God changed his name from Simon to Peter. Paul persecuted the Jews, persecuted God's people. He persecuted everyone. And then one day God got him alone on the road to Damascus, and he got saved gloriously. God changed his name to Paul. And whatever your name is, if you're willing to deal with it, be honest about it, go with God to it, this week when God gets you alone, he will change your name, and you will leave here and you'll never look back at the world again.
Amen.
This week may well be the most important week of your life, spiritually speaking. God saved you for a reason. God saved you for a purpose. God wants to do something with you. God wants you to give yourself to him. He wants to come down in this week. He wants to speak to you. He wants to get you alone, get you out of the world, get you away from everything, and talk to you. He wants to tell you what he's got for you. He wants you to leave here understanding what he did for you. He wants you to know that he's got a plan for every one of you. I don't care how young you are. God's got something he wants to do in your life, and it may be this week where God changes your name. The day God gets you alone. The day this week that God, out there in that camp someplace, out there in this service, or tomorrow morning, or sometime during the night, tonight, while you're quiet and you're thinking about things, and there's no busyness in your world, the Holy Spirit of God is going to come down and talk to you about what he did for you. I look at you young guys. I know my guys and my girls. They're the best kids on the planet. I wouldn't trade them. I got a whole church for them.
Hey.
And you know what makes my church so great? our church. You know what makes it so great? Not me, not the preaching. Obviously, it's the Word of God. But you know what really makes the difference? It's the fact that these men and women are here with you today. Your counselors, your workers, the people working in the kitchen. They get up at 4:30 in the morning. They work all day long. They never get a break. They go all through it. They never get to come to the services. They don't see what happened. You know why they're doing what they're doing over there? You've got counselors who have left their kids, left their job. Some of them took their vacation. I got a guy here this week. We got a year to live with cancer. Got terminal cancer. Probably got a year to live. This time next year in camp, he'll probably be home with the Lord. He died. No hope for him, other than the fact that he's saved.
Amen.
Doctors can't do a thing for him. He's taking radiation and chemotherapy right now. He's so sick, sometimes he can't. He throws up all the time. He's lost probably 30, 40 pounds. He looks terrible. And I love him to death. But you know what? He's at camp this week.
Amen.
He's here this week. He came this week, and he's working in the kitchen. He's so sick sometimes he has to sit down. But you know what? He's here.
Right.
And he's here for one reason, the same way my workers are, my counselors are, and all everybody else is, who gave up their time and paid their own way to be here. Because they know that God can make a difference in your life. This camp isn't about me preaching. I'm just an afterthought. The real heroes of this camp are guys like him. Counselors like these girls and these guys here. My mighty men of valor, who I'm trying to get you to be like. Because you guys have something to offer. You have something to give. You have something that God wants. You gals have a future. You gals are incredible. I watched some of you young girls, how you gravitated in, and some of you older girls, how you just become part of this church and done everything, and you take the younger girls on and you do it. I'm telling you, the people here this week are here for one reason. They know what God has done in their life. They know God has changed their life.
Amen.
And they're here so God can change yours. And you got an attitude about that. You're lucky God doesn't come down and kill you. You're lucky a big thunderstorm doesn't come over with thunder and lightning and trees crashing and everybody's running for the thing and lightning come down and just kill you. The day God gets you alone, the day God pulls you aside and tries to get you to see what he's got for you. No TV tonight. No Xbox. No video game. No MySpace in your face. No getting on the phone with your boyfriend or your girlfriend or your friends and just saying, hey, not going out here now. No, no, no. You've come to a place where it's going to be you and God.
Amen.
And there may be 200 people in this camp tonight, but I got some news for you. In reality, it's just you and him. And he wants to talk to you. It's bittersweet for me. We had a birthday party for my youngest daughter who turned 40. And they had a little party for her, you know, and that was the thing where I watch her on Sunday morning, and I watch her activities, and I watch everything that goes on. I just watch the people. I watch the people, and I marvel at what God has done for us. I remember a time when there was only 12 people. Now they look like little ants at a picnic running all over the cookies. And almost every one of them, without an exception, almost every one of them, almost every one of them. I mean, we got our issues too. We got them. We keep it to a minimum. We only allow five idiots in church. With the men and women in this church, God is changing their name. God wants to, he's going to wrestle with you this week. Some of you are going to give in right away. God bless you. Some of you are going to hold out and hold out and hold out, and you'll start sitting with your friends who are birds of a feather flock together. And then all you think that there's strength in numbers of defying God. Well, that may work for a little while, but when then you have to go home someplace or go out by yourself someplace, and God comes down and touches the hollow of your thigh, and it all changes. Belzebaca was my father in the Lord. Many of you know who he was, most of you younger than you not. He was the Apostle Paul of my life. I met him in I met him back in the 60s, when I didn't really get to know him until I got out of the Army during the early 70s. He became the man of my life that God put in my life to give me everything that I needed. He's the man that God used to change my name. And I've heard him tell the story so many times that he was studying philosophy at Kent State University as a young guy. He came to church one night at the Canton Baptist Temple, where he wound up being a pastor there after some time. And he heard a man preach whose name was Dr. Peter S. Ruckman. This was back in the late 50s, early 60s.
Hey.
An old male went down and got saved that night. He had a fill of philosophy and everything that the world had, and he trusted Christ as his own personal savior. Mel was a stubborn guy. He did things his way. And God called him to preach, and Mel said, "I ain't never going to preach." And Mel told the story many, many times how he fought God and wrestled with God. In fact, he used this very passage. He fought God and wrestled with God. Going to do his thing. He said, "I'll go to church, I'll be a good Christian, but I'm not going to preach." God said, "I've called you to preach because there's guys out there that need you. I was one of them. And I don't know where I'd be tonight if he didn't answer that call to preach." But he went the hard way, like Jacob. I heard him tell the story so many, many times that he fought God and wrestled with God about preaching, and then his wife had a beautiful little baby girl. 2 years old, that little baby girl died. And he tells the story how he put that little casket about that big. They dug that little hole. How the undertaker went to put the casket down, and he told him to get away. And he took that little casket and he put it down in that hole with tears running down his face. And he said, "Okay, God, I'm done wrestling with you. I'll preach." See, sometimes God has to come down and touch the hollow of your thigh. He has to touch something that's real to you. For some of you, maybe taking a mom or dad home to be with the Lord. That's what it took in my life. I was out there doing my own thing. And my dad, God had to take him home when I was 19 years old. And a day doesn't go by that I don't miss him and think of him. I see everybody else out there with a dad, and I don't have one. Haven't had one for many, many years. But it's what it took in my life, because I was not going to change who I was. When I went to that thing and saw that casket, saw my dad in that casket, you know what? It was the day that God got me alone. And there will be a day when God will get you alone. The Bible says you're not your own. You're bought with a price. And this week, my prayer for you is that God will get you alone and you will listen. It'll be the greatest day in your life. It'll be the day that you will look back and never see the world again. It'll be the day where you decide that you're going to follow Jesus and you're going to be with him. And God, like Jacob, had a wrestling match. Jacob said, "I want you to bless me." And God said, "Let me go. I'm not going to bless you the way you are." "Well, I want your blessing." "Okay, you want my blessing? Let's start with this. What's your name?" You have to start this week, tonight, getting honest with yourself and God, who you really are. And God has the ability this week to change your life.
Every night we're going to build on that concept. We're going to build on that theme. Every night we're going to take it. We're going to go a little bit farther. I showed you tonight the day that God gets you alone. Tomorrow night will be a different message. It'll be a lot worse from this one. Listen to God. Let him talk to you. Don't make him come down and touch you in that way. Let him come down and touch you with the word of God. It'll change your life. Let's pray.